From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and today is going to be the second of our series on most valuable towns in Sacramento. You know, here at the Growth Factory on the Mark Haney Show, we are building the Backyard Advantage, the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs with a culture of love. So our mentality is not what divides us, it's what brings us together, what we can build together. So today on the show, we have two gentlemen that I've actually wanted to have on the show for a long time. And I met Michael Alt's wife a few months back, and this prompted this to get this thing back going. But we also have Mike Testa. Mike Testa is the, let's get his title right, President and CEO of Visit Sacramento, which also oversees the Sacramento Sports Commission. And Michael Alt is on the show. He is the executive director of Downtown Sacramento Partnership. But my co-host for today is my beautiful daughter, Ashley Haney, who is the youngest ever president of the Placer County Association of Realtors for the second time. And to help give a broader perspective and maybe bring out the why is this such a great place to live? Why is it so valuable to raise a family here? I've got Ashley's perspective as well. So Ashley, you want to say a few words?
No, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for letting me co-host. I look forward to getting to know the Mikes with you. And I look forward to learning about why downtown Sacramento is the most valuable part of the backyard.
Yeah, is it the most valuable? I think it might be, but we're going to get the perspective of the guys that really understand that. So maybe if you don't mind, maybe we'll start with Mike Testa. Give us a little bit of your overview and background and then what your organization does.
Yeah, so I originally grew up in Davis, moved to the Bay Area for about 15 years, finished high school there, went to college there, worked in San Francisco for a number of years, and came back to Sacramento. And you know, we talked about this before, came back kicking and screaming a little bit, right? Sometimes you don't want to return to the place you grew up. So I commuted to Sacramento for about 6 months, was living in Berkeley, working on a political consultant job. Ended up loving that job, enjoying the city, coming from the Bay Area where, you know, I wasn't going to be able to afford a house till I was about 65 or 70 with the income I was making. Mm-hmm. Saw some opportunity in Sacramento to move here. Ultimately met Michael's wife, who you mentioned, right. Went to work for Michael at the Downtown Partnership for about 3 years, and then came over to, at the time, was the Sacramento Convention and Visitors Bureau. So our job is to drive tourism into the market. We book all the major conventions at the convention center. We book some of the special events. We came up with the Farm to Fork marketing campaign. So we do the Tower Bridge Dinner, do the Farm to Fork Festival. And then we do a lot of the music festivals like Aftershock and Golden Sky. And then, as you mentioned, we run the Sports Commission. So anything from March Madness to NCAA Track and Field, Junior Olympics, any kind of sporting event that has some weight to it, we typically bring to town.
So much to dive into. I'll just do one follow-up question, if you don't mind. So it's kind of a contrast. You came back kicking and screaming, yeah. But now you are selling Sacramento. You yeah. are bringing people here and talking about how great we are and why they should have an event here, why they should locate here.
Yeah, and that's part of the value of not wanting to come here, right? I was proven wrong by this place, and I think you'll hear this between both of us. I love living here. I'm passionate about this city. And you can't fake that, right? You can't pretend you're something you're not. So when I talk about Sacramento, whether it's on a show like this or on the East Coast when we're meeting with media out there, I'm excited about it. I think we have a lot of cool things to offer in this region and in our city that you can't replicate in other places. So in some ways, my job is a challenge because we're in California, right? There's a lot of great cities in California. And if we were on the East Coast and I said, name five California cities, Sacramento might not be in that top five. So I like the challenge of that. But once you get into it, it's pretty hard to argue that Sacramento is not a cool place.
All right. So kick it over to you, Michael Alt, right? For you listening, see if you can distinguish these guys' voices. Obviously, if you're watching this on YouTube, you're going to see the difference. But Michael Alt, now give us a little bit of your background and what your organization does.
Absolutely. You know, so in the late 90s, Sacramento was really looking for a voice to be the champion for the urban core. There was a feeling that, hey, we're the capital city. This is where people, yes, come to work. But what is Sacramento doing to differentiate itself as a destination? And so, you know, we've got about 100,000 employees in the downtown core. And one of the things that we have felt is this is a special place that we need to really do a good job of promoting this as an economic development destination. In the early years of our organization, we focused on core services. The 650 property and business owners that we had said, let's invest in clean and safe. Let's invest in economic development. Let's really champion this as a place that we want people not just to come to work Monday through Friday, but extend that experience, stay evenings, stay weekends. Mike and his team have done a great job of really empowering this community to embrace the farm to fork, great food, great events, great activities, and we want people to extend that experience. And so, you know, as we've learned in the last couple of years, you couldn't have made up what happened the last couple of years from COVID, social protests, return to office, and these. I think we're really trying to figure out now, what are we doing to reinvent the downtown core? And there's not a downtown organization in the U.S. right now that isn't trying to say, how do we do things a little bit differently and really have this continue to be a special spot that is going to be a destination? And I'll end by saying, you know, as we just heard Mike say, regions are defined by their downtowns. And when people think of a destination, we want people to think of downtown Sacramento as a special place that is an iconic destination, not just a place that you drive through on the way to where you're really going.
Yeah. Ashley and I have lived here our whole life in the Placer County area. And, you know, we go down to Sacramento all the time for Kings games and entertainment and that kind of thing. But we started talking about, like, what are the most valuable parts of our backyard? And downtown Sacramento comes to mind. There's so many resources. But what I love about Sacramento is the people. We've got a very diverse population. There's a lot to do. Ashley, you want to pick it up a little bit?
Yeah. There? So I obviously also love the people. I love the experience. I love the walkability. I love the restaurants. I love Echo and Rig and, you know, the Porch and all those restaurants down there. But I love the diversity too. All of the culture and the art. It's something that you feel like you're getting an experience within an experience because it's right in our backyard, but you get to see a lot of different cultures.
So what, in your guys' minds, either one of you or both, what are the most valuable assets that we have beyond the great place to live, beyond the history and a lot of the culture? What are some of the other valuable assets that rest right here in the downtown area?
You know, I started off, one of the things that I think we take for granted is the incredible environment we have from a residential standpoint. We've got people that want to live in the urban core. We're seeing what are alternatives to simply relying only on office, being that office will dominate us for years to come as it relates to the importance of that market. But if not just office, what else? We're seeing residential come in larger numbers. People saying, I don't need two cars. I want to walk to work. I want to be part of going to live music, walking to restaurants, jumping on the bike trail on their bikes. And I think we have finally started to realize the value when you look at the entire central city from downtown to midtown of what urban living means, there's a higher level of expectation of, I don't want to be driving 45 minutes each way. You know what? I'd like to be part of this renaissance of what living in a capital city and in an urban downtown means. And I think that we're seeing that play out in ways we hadn't expected by some of the, you know, we're seeing growth in population coming to Sacramento that is excited about being part of kind of the future.
Is that, what's that demographic look like? Is it more younger people that, you know, want to walk, or is it the elderly like me? What is it?
Yeah, I think you definitely see that skew towards a younger demographic. And we know we also need to complete that experience. If we are going to be appealing to, as we continue to develop new product, housing for families, housing for older lifestyles. We need schools. We need grocery stores. There are other amenities to complete that experience, but definitely it skews younger, but there's also a lot of activities for people living in the downtown core that you just can't find in the suburbs.
Yeah. I would also say that there's a lot of things that we take for granted because we live here, right? And sometimes when it's right in front of you, you don't see it the same way. And to me, food and agriculture is one of those things. I think for a long time, Sacramento didn't want to be defined as an ag town, but you look at what surrounds this region, 1.5 million acres of active farmland, more than 165 crops coming out of the ground. If you eat sushi anywhere in the country, 99% of the sushi rice comes from Sacramento. 80% of the nation's caviar comes out of Sacramento, which people are always shocked by. When you look at the water tower that used to say, "Welcome to the City of Trees," that's a great thing, right? Sacramento is the City of Trees.
But there are 30 city of trees across the United States, including 7 of them in California. And surely we are worthy of not sharing an identity with 29 other cities. What we do better than anybody else in the U.S. is grow food. And so much of the food we grow feeds the rest of the country. So that's where Farm to Fork came from, being proud of what's grown in this region, being proud of what we give to communities across this country. And you think about the diversity of the crops, you think about the jobs it creates, not only from the farmers and the produce distributors, but the restaurants, the servers, anybody in between. You know, there's a reason that Sacramento was the 5th city in the country that was recognized in the Michelin Guide. It was New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, and Sacramento.
Wow.
They didn't do that because they thought we were charming, right? They did that because our food is legit. And our food is legit because it's locally sourced, and you can't get a freshness anywhere more than you can get it in Sacramento.
Well, if anybody out there is listening, they probably have heard of the Bridge Dinner. It's an annual event that I've gone to the last several years, and the food is outstanding. But the people are outstanding as well. You've collected this really cool experience and this group of people that, you know, it's a lot of the leaders of Sacramento, but they're coming and they're converging and they're collaborating and they're having some fun together on the bridge that divides downtown from West Sac.
Yeah.
What was the inspiration behind that?
So when we started talking about Sacramento as America's Farm to Fork capital, we wanted some sort of celebration event, right? And we thought, for exactly what you just said, joining 2 counties and 2 cities on a state highway was a great venue to do that at. So it actually got thrown out in a meeting. I said, hey, why don't we shut down the bridge and do a long dinner across that bridge? I had 2 chefs, Patrick Mulvaney and Josh Nelson from the Selim Family Restaurant Group, come up to me after that meeting and say, that bridge idea, we got to do that. And so that's kind of where it came from. And it's a celebration of food, right? You think about all the cooking shows that we see on TV. This was really a celebration about farmers and the farming in this region. And, you know, to your point, Mark, you look at some of the people we've had on that bridge locally, but also nationally. You know, when Kevin Johnson was mayor, we had the Conference of Mayors on that bridge. 40 mayors from across the country were sitting on that bridge. You look at the articles that have recently come out in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, GQ Magazine, San Francisco Chronicle, those writers all sat on the bridge. Mm-hmm. It's become this great venue for us to show this postcard of Sacramento and to get people excited about what we're doing. And then, you know, the next day you take them to the farmer's market under the freeway. You take them to all these different legitimate produce areas in Sacramento. So, you know, we talk the talk when it comes to Farm to Fork, but we also walk the walk, and the bridge dinner is what celebrates that.
So thinking about the most valuable assets in the downtown area. So you mentioned the Farm to Fork and the food scene, the vibe that we have and when we live down there. What are some of the other things? I'm imagining that each of you do tours of the city occasionally. Where do you stop them? What do you have to point out that to make them become enticed about how great we are?
You know, one of the things we talked about is bringing more activity generation downtown. It goes back, 10 years ago when the discussion of, hey, where should we build this arena? Does it belong back out on I-5? And I will tell you, this last year we saw 3.5 million people come to the Golden One Center for events. You can see on event days the activity, the energy on the streets, the lines at the restaurants, people that want to be part of that. And I think, the work that was done to expand the convention center, you're starting to build in iconic destinations. And then you tie in Old Sacramento as a destination. These are activity generators that build in additional tourism opportunities for us. And so when we showcase Sacramento, and you know there are meetings that happen with us several times a month of this firm is looking to locate down here. Talk to them about the interest. What do their employees want to see? Talking about the events that take place during the day, the opportunities on weekends. You know the work from home model that existed for a while, and that's probably never going away fully, but we think downtown is a great way to get out, collaborate, have collisions with employees, talk about mentoring opportunities and growth, be part of, I think, the energy that exists downtown and really sells, I think, a different experience than you may get in suburban locations.
Yeah. So we got the Kings. Obviously, that's at the heart of what downtown has.
Go ahead, and some of it's finite for me, right? I'm bringing in meeting planners who are looking at convention space. They want to know how big the convention center is. They want to know the hotel product around the convention center, which restaurants are in walking distance. Then we take them to Memorial Auditorium. But, you know, tourists are also the two of you coming from Rockland downtown mm-hmm. and patronizing the restaurants and going to a concert or a Kings game. And I think, again, sometimes you don't realize how special things are when they're under your nose. I think if you bring people from out of town, Old Sacramento is a pretty special place. Sutter's Fort is pretty cool. These are things that are part of our heritage and our history that are here. But, you know, if you're like me, I grew up here. I spent the night at Sutter's Fort when I was in the fifth grade. And
did you ever go to Sutter's Fort?
Yeah, I did that too. That's right? Funny. Yeah.
My kids have done that. So, you know, it's just part of who we are everyday life. But for people coming in, it's a pretty unique experience.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, we got to experience the convention center a couple weeks ago when you were named Entrepreneur of the Year. And so it was really cool to see how you guys have been transforming the convention center as well as everything down there. So on that same line, I'd like to shift gears a little bit because I'm a real estate person. And I want to know, as you're walking downtown, obviously there's a lot of storefronts that are vacant. What are some of the plans for maybe converting some of that space into living space or doing some type of mixed use? Do we have plans for that, or what are we seeing?
Well, I think for us, the reality is the challenge in the workforce has caused some vacancies. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we know that the work from home model has impacted the population downtown. You know, pre-COVID, I gave you the number of about 100,000 employees. We're probably 50% of that right now. Private sector's back a little bit more at about 60%, public sector 25-30%. So that leaves some real impacts. And so the question is, what do you do with those spaces? Right. Does adaptive reuse work? It can work on some of the buildings that we have, but not every office building was designed necessarily to be a perfect residential conversion opportunities. And so, you know, some of the second and third generation uses, it may be more cost effective on some of these, that some of these buildings get scraped and we look at residential opportunities for us down there. We love building in more residents to call this an urban neighborhood just because we had relied on the office workers. A lot of that work, especially from public sector employees, was Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. We want people downtown walking the streets on evenings, on weekends, walking their dogs on Saturday, Sundays, that be able to, I think, help populate and drive business to retail. And so I think retail will come back slowly, but it's going to take building in more users to do that. The simple fact, downtown will always need to be a destination. There's not enough residents right in the downtown core that support fully all the retail that we would want to have down there. And so what are we doing to differentiate ourselves from what you can find in the suburbs? Why is downtown unique? Why is it a special place to go? Yes, you can find your restaurant. Yes, there are events, but some of the things that make downtown unique, we need to do a better job of championing. You know, the chamber does these study missions to other cities, and a lot of people have come back from those trips saying, man, we've got so much going than some of these other communities, but they do a lot better job of being champions for their own communities and selling what they have. Why are we so hesitant to call out and appreciate and just be proud of what we have as a community and sell ourselves better than other places? And so we can talk a lot about the challenges that haven't gone right in the last couple of years, but I think we could be much more aspirational and talk about the exciting things that are happening. We've seen new hotels, new residential projects, great new events, a lot of activities. Let's sell that more than just simply talk about the things that haven't worked.
What are the big events that have been like that are on the newer side that have cropped up?
So Aftershock started, it's been about a decade now, but it started as a one-day 11,700 people. It's now a four-day 160,000 people.
Wow.
One of large rock festivals in the U.S.
I have to imagine an event like this. Ashley and I were talking about Airbnbs the other day, and we have some out here in the Placer County, Folsom, you know, a ways away from Aftershock in terms of a drive, but we've got to jack up the rents during those periods because so many people coming in to town want to grab an Airbnb.
Well, that's it. Of those 40,000 people a day, it's represented by 25 countries, every state in the U.S. 67% of the attendees don't live in this region. So to your point, Mark, it's filling hotels and Airbnbs from Yolo to Placer County.
Well, and we're already booked out 6 months. And so they're no problem to come and stay and even drive 30 minutes to come have this experience.
Absolutely.
So you're doing something right. So good job.
Well, and then the next weekend is Golden Sky, the country music version of Aftershock that goes to 3 days this year. It was 2 days the first 2 years.
Where's that at? Where's that?
Same. We leave the stage up and we just change the signage from hard rock to country.
Discovery Park.
Yeah, Discovery Park. Wow. And then the weekend after that is Ironman, right? So October, and I'm sure you guys are seeing this in your Airbnbs, because the hotels certainly are, and the short-term rental operators we talk to see the same thing. There is huge demand in this market. So that's one of the pivots that we made during COVID, because conventions weren't convening, obviously, especially in California, that we had to do something to make sure that the tourism economy stayed afloat. You've got a lot of restaurants, obviously hotels that depend on it. So we started investing in these festivals. Aftershock had been here, but it was a 3-day. We pushed it to a 4-day in 2021, brought in Golden Sky 2 years ago, and we're looking to bring in a third one next year. So let me
think about the people, trying to imagine the people. I can imagine the Iron Man. Yeah. These are the athletes. These are the badass athletes. They're ripped. I'm picturing what it feels like to be in a hotel or a restaurant when Iron Man is here. And then you've got Aftershock, which is crazy rock, right? These are a lot of tattoos and piercings and all that. And then you got the country dudes and women. Yep. Three pretty different demographics.
Yeah, and the third festival we're going to bring is a different demographic from that. So exactly to your point, like a lot of carbo loading, I feel like, during Iron Man in the hotels, like a lot of bacon for breakfast during that. And probably getting up a little later when it comes to Aftershock. You know, the show doesn't start till noon, so they sleep in a little bit. Gotcha. But what's great about those shows, like I've been to Aftershock every year. I've seen one person get arrested, and it was somebody who the police were saying, please walk away, we don't want to arrest you, and she just wouldn't stop, so she got arrested. It is a civil crowd. It is a group of people that vacation in Sacramento for this. They are spending thousands of dollars to get themselves here, to stay in hotels, to buy their meals. So it's become this destination festival. And again, 4 days of 160,000 people, you can't miss when it's in the region.
So are you more of an Aftershock guy or a Golden Sky guy?
I'm probably a little more of an Aftershock guy. Okay. I like them both, but Aftershock skews a little more of my music. And then the third one we add will be more Americana. Bruno Mars, Dave Matthews, Mumford & Sons, that type of thing. So to your point, Mark, three very different genres over three very different weekends.
Now, you two live around the corner from each other. You've known each other a long time. Are you also an Aftershock guy?
Oh, it would be Golden Sky, I've always loved country music. But my wife and I had a reality of a house flood and lived at Embassy Suites for 8 months.
So right there next to the bridge.
Yeah, your comment, we saw every group come in. It was classic. The oatmeal, there's five troughs of oatmeal for, Iron Man weekend.
Right.
They're wheeling in coolers for Golden Sky in the mornings. I mean, the crowd, it was great people watching. But these events, I will tell you, when you look at some of these events, you look at the NCAA basketball tournament, Kings playoffs, Farm to Fork Festival, the energy on the streets, the activity, the lines outside of restaurants, these are good for an identity for Sacramento, but they also bring people that we had the opportunity just living there that said, never been to Sacramento. We definitely will be back. We've loved these events. And so we're getting a chance to showcase our community to people that, normally would not be here for this reason, but now are saying we're going to not only come back to these events, but come back for other times to see this region.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier before the show that at some level we're reinventing ourselves in downtown and in Sacramento. And when I invest into entrepreneurs, I'm kind of a venture capital guy. I'm always looking at potential, not how great the company is today, but what's our potential. So when we look at the city and downtown specifically, you've got the rail yards, you've got what I consider downtown. I might not have the names the way that you guys use them. You got Old Town, Old Sac. Those are three that come to mind when I think about potential and underdeveloped at the moment. How do you view our potential in terms of which areas have the most potential, which are going to develop the fastest?
Well, when you look, the question is, how do we grow the brand of downtown? And I think the existing footprint of the downtown core that, had a number of employees that what its driving force, the incredible momentum of Midtown, not just with their activities, but with their events, their strength of that residential community there. The question is, where do you grow? And so when you look at the rail yards, it's the largest redevelopment project west of the Mississippi, 230 acres. They're building a state-of-the-art new million-plus square foot Kaiser Hospital that's going to go there. They're talking about 10,000 residents. And the irony, when you really look at it, if you did an overview of the rail yards, it is roughly the size of the existing Central Business District. And so we've got an opportunity to double the size of what the downtown core is. So the things for us that we think about, how do you develop those connections? Let's don't create two separate destinations. What are the linkages to support that new residential? There's discussions of $30 to $40 million investment on the waterfront that can, I think, finally have this community realize the importance of being close to the river. You know, we've got a city surrounded by two great rivers, but we really don't engage them. We've got people that stand at Front Street in Old Sacramento and ask some of our staff where the waterfront is, and it's literally right, right over there. The berm. But also keep in mind, not just for us, but right across Tower Bridge, the incredible new development that a lot of people are doing in West Sacramento, all that residential looks at downtown with where they shop, where they eat, where they go for entertainment. So those are users. And so we're surrounded by an area of continued growth that I think is going to fundamentally change Sacramento. And if we do it right, we can not only see a huge increase in residential population, but really bring in a higher level of users. I mean, you know, 2,700 employees a day will work at Kaiser. They've got discretionary money, spending money. They want to be part of it. These are the exact employees we want to see downtown.
Yeah. And maybe I'll throw that same question to you. Maybe you can add on to that about our potential and where you see the areas that are most likely to succeed.
Yeah, Michael touched on this a few minutes ago, and I think this is exceptionally true. I think the worst enemy we have in Sacramento sometimes are Sacramentans, the people who have lived here their whole lives who will tell you it's boring, there's nothing to do here, it's a cow town. When I look at the work that we're doing, the work that Michael's doing, the work that so many other groups are doing, man, you're not paying attention if you think this place is boring. And I look at, you know, things like Aftershock. You may not be into hard rock. The restaurateurs may not be into hard rock. But how are we welcoming all those tens of thousands of people coming to town, right? Are we explaining to the locals that between those three events, Golden Sky, Aftershock, and Ironman, it's over $50 million in economic impact over three weekends in Sacramento, the jobs that that creates, the pride that it should build. When you go into a restaurant in Portland and you look at the wine list, it's all Oregon wines. If you go to a restaurant in Sacramento, you don't see a lot of local wines. You do in some, but for the most part, it's going to be Napa, Sonoma, French wines, Italian wines. Where is that local pride, right? We don't talk about how we're sourcing directly from the farmer. The asparagus that's on your plate was bought that morning directly from the farmer. That, to me, is something unique about this region that nobody else can claim, and we just don't talk about it. Instead, we lament what we don't have. It's kind of like the study missions, right? When we go to other cities, we see some of these really cool things, but very rarely do we say what we're doing right in Sacramento. There's a lot of fun stuff here. There's a lot of stuff here that's working well, but instead we just point at what's not working. And I think there's got to be a better balance there, because a lot of folks who talk poorly about the city are missing all the good things. So that, to me, is a huge opportunity.
One of the things that I see happening is we've had this influx of talent from the Bay Area and other places. And in the work that I'm doing around venture capital, this tech talent is very, very valuable. And we're becoming more of a place where you might want to build your small business or startup and get venture capital here, become venture backable so that other people's money flows into Sacramento. So we're seeing more and more startups want to stay here coming out of UC Davis and others. And I have my map over there that shows where the Growth Factory has invested into 50 companies over the last 2 years. And I've invested into a number personally prior. But the Growth Factory, a lot of the companies we're invested into are in the heart of Sacramento. They are located there. And there are some very successful companies that are, you know, startup companies that are growing their business right there in Sacramento.
Well, part of the reason that we've focused on music festivals is the example in Austin, right? 30 years ago, Austin wasn't known for South by Southwest. They've always had Austin City Limits since the 70s, but they started South by Southwest that was under 1,000 people that first year in 1992. Suddenly, music started to be relevant in Austin. What did that do? That attracted a younger generation that moved to Austin. What did that attract? Tech. Motorola, Dell, all these larger companies moved there because suddenly that's where the talent was. That's where the workforce was. So part of what we're trying to create is a more attractive region for people to move. Certainly, if you're a music fan, it benefits you that we're doing these festivals in the market. But what is it attracting from a GSAC standpoint? I know you've had them on the show. Does it make it easier for them to start selling Sacramento because they don't have to spend the first 15 minutes explaining what Sacramento is?
Well, interesting. Sorry, Ashley, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, outside of the music festivals that you guys are working on, what other events are you guys working on to get people there from January to October? Maybe you can expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of those are conventions that we do, and some are, you know, the canoe convention that you'll never go to unless you're into canoeing, but Some of those are agricultural technology and things that are relevant to the market. We host the Wine and Grape Symposium, which is the largest private wine show in the country. That just happened in January. We do have some smaller events. The Farm to Fork Festival, it's not small, 125,000 people. That's in September. The sporting events, we did the Junior Olympics in July last year. So, you know, the summer months can be tough when it's 140 degrees, but we do try to program throughout the year. This time of year, it's cold, so not a lot of outdoor events, but we do have indoor events. I think if you look at that calendar, especially from May to October, there's a lot of things to do and a very diverse list of things to
do. So outside of canoeing, you mentioned a canoeing conference. What other random conferences are happening in Sacramento that we might want to know about, or maybe some of the listeners might want to know about?
So a lot of state associations meet here because we're the capital. And the reality is most of these conventions are private, right? They don't open to the public. The Almond Board of California comes here every December. We have I mentioned the Wine and Grapes Symposium. California Realtors meets here every year.
Yes, I know. I'm a director, right?
So there's a lot of those association ones that meet here. And then, you know, you mentioned sporting events. We do March Madness. We do all the NCAA events. We work with California International Marathon in December. So there's a long list of things to do.
There was a meat cutter event, I think, at Golden One.
So the World Butcher Challenge, we hosted that. Yeah, we brought that from Paris, which is where it's going to be held this year. That was a great event. And you know what that did? That attracted Chef Tyler Florence, who's on the Food Network. We met him there. He called us afterwards and wanted to be a part of the Farm to Fork Festival. He did this huge barbecue demonstration at the festival. We didn't pitch him. He saw what was happening in Sacramento and raised his hand and said, I want to be part of it.
So basically there's something for everybody is what you're saying.
Well, I want to tie this a little bit to the culture that we have this grassroots effort to build the backyard advantage for Sacramento entrepreneurs, right? The most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs based on this culture of love, because I think my perspective is that Sacramento is like a small town in many ways, maybe more like a Midwest town where we have a lot of old fashioned values. Sure, there's a ton of diverse attitudes, but with a culture of people who want to help each other, people want to work together. And you touched on South by Southwest. You know, what happened from the creator economy or the music side of things, tech and venture and a lot of the world that I'm involved with here at the beginnings in Sacramento, if there's a way to collaborate and work together to help one another with that culture of love, to me, this is if there's a town that can do it, it's our town.
Yeah, we would agree with that, and we think that you know, when you look at Sacramento, and specifically downtown, you can't underestimate the economic impact of what we generate from a financial standpoint for the city. Many people don't realize, 46% of the city's property tax comes from downtown buildings. About that same level of transient occupancy tax from hotels come, and so when we talk about continuing to invest in the economic engine of downtown, we provide opportunities as a city. As a citywide city whole. And so finding ways for us to really talk about why to continue to invest, why to feed this engine downtown as we build this out and look at the future and want to be a destination. When people are choosing to come to Sacramento, you know, Kevin Johnson used to tell a story. When he went on the road, he would talk to other teams and say, what are your favorite cities to go to on off nights? And, you know, Chicago and LA and New York. And what were your least favorite cities? And he goes, I'd hear Milwaukee and Salt Lake and Sacramento. And he said, oh, it would kill me that people would say Sacramento on a down night. And I think we are as focused on understanding that we want to be a fun place. We want to be a place people are proud to be from. We want to be a place that when you're done, yes, you may work here, but that you'd not only come back, you want to come back and be part of this environment. And so we get a lot of new residents that are coming into this area that cashing out in Bay Area, coming to Sacramento. And the irony is they're coming to us saying, we love it here. We love the people. We love the environment. Your comment on Midwest town is true. We have a community that is much more genuine, I think, than a lot of our counterparts when it talks about feeling welcome and kind of opening the door for people. And so I think if we continue to just lean into this, know, the economy will come back. We will get employees back. It may be different, but different can be good too. There's opportunities with different. And so as we're looking, especially at downtown, some cities across the U.S. are leaning into education. There may be opportunities for public institutions to play a larger role, lean into residential, lean into a lot of these growth and these amenities and fun events and activities and festivals. But let's be open to change.
Are there certain cities? You mentioned Austin earlier. I've been to Denver over the last couple of years, and it's created a fun environment in and around the downtown area. Are there other cities that we may want to learn from and maybe, you know, take some of what's working there and apply them here?
I think, yes, there's always examples in other cities that are doing something differently than others. But I would say, and this goes to your previous question, if you look at the visitor economy in Sacramento, 15 million visitors a year, more than $4 billion. So that's working. And when you ask the question, if you're generating $4 billion, the next question would be, how should we grow that?
Yeah.
Right? So what are we missing that would attract more tourists? We talk about, you know, sports fields. We don't have a 20-field soccer complex that I can go after amateur sporting events for. That's kind of the last piece of our tourism infrastructure. So yes, there are other cities that we can learn from, but I think we spend a lot of time looking at what other cities are doing and not focusing on what we could be doing better and growing the things that are working. As an investor, right, you will invest more money in things that are working.
Yes.
So we need to be looking at the things that are working and invest more in those to make them work even
better.
It's
common sense. Yep. If it's working, let's expand upon that. And opportunity gets created like crazy when you bring that many people into our town. And so why not? Things will open up that we can't even imagine yet when you have something that's working like what it's working. So you mentioned what's missing. So soccer is a key piece.
Flat field. So there's a ton of amateur sporting groups across the country. So soccer, rugby, lacrosse, anything that would play on those fields. There's youth sports, there's adult sports. And you talk about people in this market, parents who are driving all over California to take their kids to these tournaments. That money here.
Ashley, Ashley's here.
Right.
Yeah, Ashley's kids are about your kids. Are your kids into sports?
Yep.
So Ashley's kids, I could be, I have 9 grandkids now. I could be at a sporting event every night. But there's an event center, the grounds in Roseville, where it's a gigantic volleyball court,
and basketball.
Yes. They do basketball. They do gymnastics.
You guys have that? You have something like that?
We don't. I mean,
you need something like that, or do you?
Absolutely, we do. Yeah, that's what we don't have. And again, let's keep that money in this market, whether it's Manteca or different parts of the Bay Area or Southern California. People, and I hear this from parents all the time, oh, I just spent the last 4 days living in a gym watching my kids.
San Mateo.
And what's really unique, when there's a downturn in the economy, parents still spend money on their kids, right? That's not where you cut the budget. And so that's the piece in Sacramento that we're missing. If we had a 20-field facility, we would book that thing year round. And, the other benefit is local youth get to play there. They get to play on this really nice facility. So that, we expanded the convention center. We've done a lot of other things downtown with Michael. We've got new hotels in the market. That's the last piece of tourism infrastructure that Sacramento
doesn't
have.
Where could that go? Where are the open spaces? We talked about the rail yards. Is that one, or is that not really built for something like that?
It's probably not. You need probably 100 acres or so. Typically, it's 3 to 5 acres per field. Okay. Plus, you need parking lots and locker rooms and that type of thing. So, there's facilities. Granite Regional Park in Sacramento potentially has that ability.
Okay.
The city owns 102 acres in South Sacramento. You couldn't do that big of a complex, but you could do something like the grounds there, right?
Yeah.
You could do an indoor facility there. There's a ton of money there's a ton of land that Sacramento County owns, out by the airport. Is there developable land that we can use to build these types of facilities? Because again, not only does it bring in the economics, but it saves parents that live here an awful lot of time and money.
Well, and it keeps people here too, right?
Exactly.
So, you've done a good job of talking about the other areas. You're talking about West Sac and how that helps the downtown area. You brought up, locating things, in other areas. Are you under the belief that sort of the rising tide helps all the ships, and that really if an adjacent municipality succeeds, it bleeds over into the Sacramento area?
Without question. Sacramento. You think about something like the Michelin Guide, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've got 16 restaurants recognized in that guide. 2 of them have Michelin stars. 3 of them are Bib Gourmands. What does that do? That elevates Sacramento's food scene. And the thought for the consumer is, if I come to Sacramento, I'm going to eat really well. right? All the restaurants are probably pretty good if Michelin is in the market. So that's the example of the rising tide. Same with Farm to Fork. We shine a culinary spotlight on Sacramento. Suddenly the restaurants become more noticeable.
What's your favorite restaurant?
Oh man, you can't in do Sacramento. That to me. I've got a lot of favorite restaurants. I would say
one of your favorites.
I like Ella. I like Mulvaney. Yeah. And I like Flores Bar and Grill, which is a great Mexican place down the street.
Are you
from
more
my house.
Like into the vibe, or do you? It's like, are you a foodie type guy?
Listen, I'm a pizza and a burger guy. Okay. But I like a good meal too.
Okay. What's your favorite restaurant, Mike?
Oh, come on.
Get some haters out there.
In the downtown core, there's some great restaurants. I mean, he's mentioned a few. We've got I love Frank Fats. Cam. Is great. Grange is great. Firehouse. I mean, there's a lot of great restaurants down there. It'd be hard to go right across from my office, Ernesto Delgado in Chavez Park, doing incredible work with La Cosecha. Eat there. Margaritas there more than I should, but it's a great spot.
I might have to go check that place out.
We didn't have this conversation 20 years ago, right?
No.
You would have mentioned the Firehouse and Biba and maybe Paragary's, but now we've got this vibrant restaurant scene that's really good. And not only in Sacramento, in Rockland and in, you know, different parts of the region as well.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like we got to do a food tour, maybe
we
a cocktail tour.
Do that. There you go. We should do a margarita tour.
I mean,
bounce from place to place. Sounds
we
like
will,
Chavez
we will
Park.
Lead you okay. on this tour.
Love it. Okay. So, what did we not ask you? What else do we need to be making sure that our audience understands about Sacramento proper?
You know, I think for us, there's going to be change. I mean, the world is changing, and downtown will be a really good example of that. You know, we look at how downtown will evolve in a post, 5 day a week, Monday through Friday workforce. But that doesn't mean, like I said earlier, it's a bad thing. There can be really good opportunities with some of these buildings that may be available to do some fun things with. Is there entrepreneurs that can come in and start looking at this space differently? You know, we've got a Calling All Dreamers campaign, which brings in entrepreneurs with ideas on their companies, really works with them, trying to find ways to encourage them. 5 of 6 of last year's finalists have signed leases and are opening up down there. And so I think when people say, you know, retail's dead, it's not dead. The strong will survive. Those that have a good business model will do fine. Those restaurants that are doing a good product will be fine. I think the difference is now is the time we need the community to support our local businesses, come out, be there for us. But I think we're starting to get some real momentum back. Employee numbers are getting better. People are starting to open businesses. Tourism numbers are coming back. Major events are coming back. I mean, just looking at the Golden One Center, when we look at events, you know, we have over 1 million more people coming to the Golden One Center than there are at the Chase Center in San Francisco because of the, I think, evolution of offerings of events. We've got a huge Latin event scene that has really exploded downtown at Golden One Center with events. And so it's exciting to see that enthusiasm from the market of people that said, we've missed you. We've been on the sidelines for a while.
I recently heard, I think it was in the news today or yesterday, that San Francisco is losing some of its trade shows and bigger events, corporate type events. And they're leaving because it just doesn't have the right feeling, maybe not as safe in some ways. Is Sacramento, it sounds like Sacramento's event scene is on the rise. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, San Francisco's lost a lot of conventions for that very reason. You know, organizations like mine are measured by how many hotel room nights we produce. And they dropped their goal by 400,000 room nights.
Wow.
That's more than we do in a year. And that's just the drop they had in their goal. So they are significantly impacted. Are we picking up some of those? Yeah, we are. And we're creating our own events. I think to Michael's point, I looked at my peers during COVID, and there were a lot of folks sitting on their hands saying, well, it's COVID. We can't, you know, I can't do conventions. We can't do anything. No, we invested. We pivoted. We went after music festivals. We created new things in the market that got around the fact that conventions weren't happening. Michael has a very similar problem in the sense that 37% of the state of California's employees are based in Sacramento. Most of them are working from home at this point. So Michael could just sit on his hands and say, well, you know, we lost all the state workers. No, there is a pivot happening between his organization, my organization, and others trying to respond to that. Well, if the state workers aren't coming back the way we expected them to, what do? We've got to create something that fills that void. And it's not going to happen overnight, but you've got a lot of people in the city who see the challenge and are willing to meet it rather than just sitting there saying it's out of our control.
Your organization, Mike, is backed by property owners and that kind of thing. So it's people that have put their money where their town is in a big way. They own a lot of property here, and they want you to help bring things together so that real estate values can continue to move in the right direction.
Absolutely. And, you know, the vertical office market downtown is changing too. I mean, as people are looking at leases, you know, we heard this week the state is bringing employees back a couple days a week. Does that help? It does. Is 2 days a week enough to support all the retail that we have and want downtown? It's not. And so what else are we doing to backfill some of those users? And I think the ability to work with these owners, I mean, the foundation, as you said, we're funded through a district that is funded by the property owners, which is a big portion of our assessment. But there's also additional revenue generated through events, marketing, foundations. We do a lot of work on the kind of social reality of what's going downtown to make sure that we're setting the stage as we start welcoming people back to the office, that they feel good about that environment. We know perception is everything. And if people haven't been here in a while, we want them to come down for an event, for a dinner, for a show, whatever it is, and feel good about it and say, we'll be back.
Yeah. Mike, anything we didn't ask you?
No, I think, you know, listen, as I said at the top, we get passionate about this stuff because it's what we do, and we believe in it. And I, again, as that evangelist of Sacramento, there's certainly, we've got some challenges, but there's good things ahead. And I think one of the hardest parts has been, you know, right before COVID, we were on this cusp of exploding in such a great way. And a lot of that changed. You know, we had some hotel developers looking at the market that went away. We've got some new ones looking at it now. So we're rebuilding, and frankly, we're rebuilding faster than a lot of other California cities. But you've got people in roles like Michael and I that care. You know, I'm not done. I got a lot of gas in the tank. So, you know, in some ways, we're Team Sacramento, right? We want everything to be great here, and we're focused on doing that.
Ashley, anything that you want me to cover, or any other final questions?
No, I just want to know what we can do to support you. We, meaning the two of us, as well as our sphere of influence. What can we do to support you guys in your efforts?
I think the margarita tour first would be really valuable for all of us. But I think it's being a champion where you live, right? Talking about the great restaurant scene that, yeah, are there some challenges downtown? Of course there are. Doesn't mean it's unsafe. Doesn't mean you can't go to events at the Golden One Center. And that's what we'd encourage people to do, much like we did during the pandemic. You know, the restaurants, you may not be able to go in person, but get food to go. Help keep them afloat. And same with these businesses. Figure out how you can contribute, how you can keep the prosperity going in the market, and not only make it a great place to live, but to attract people from the outside as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm downtown a minimum of once a week, and I love it. I feel great about it. And it's the Golden One's a big attraction for me, as we have, you know, we have got one of those lofts down there. And the people in entrepreneurship, they want to hang out and do meetings and lunches and dinners down there. So I find myself sometimes Ubering down there and or taking the car occasionally. But it's, you know, I enjoy it. So anyway, thank you guys for helping reinvent this this town.
Michael, did you have something else you wanted to add?
I appreciate it. And I think to Mike's comment, just help us continue to be champions for this region. I mean, we believe in it. We love it. It's obviously our job, but I can't imagine we would be doing this anywhere else. So help us continue to believe in it.
Yeah, anything we can do.
Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it.
And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.